And you think you might have had problems with the polls on Tuesday. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Good to be back with you, Barry. I know you're getting ready to go on vacation, so let's hope we can make some sense of this during the time you're gone.
Well, I'll be gone, but I won't be very far away due to the magic of Skype, so that will be fine. But Chuck, what I was thinking is that for most people, this week, well, Tuesday, yesterday, was just another day. Unless you are a political wonk like me and you pay attention to these things, you realize that yesterday, August the 7th, was an election. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have more than two elections a year. If you've ever dealt with your local school districts or with local levies, you know that there's more than two elections a year. We have what are called the special elections, which occur in February and August of each year here in the state of Ohio. And it's the first Tuesday in August, which was yesterday on August the 7th. Now, Chuck, usually, most communities don't have much going on during these special elections, and if they do, I'll guarantee you it's going to be something dealing with a school levy, most likely. One that probably didn't pass during a fall election or during a primary election that the Board of Education of that local community decided they're going to give one more to just to make sure that the public understands how desperately they need more of their money. But I think that no matter where you were here in the state of Ohio, polling place couldn't have been any more chaotic and confused than it was in Lansing, Michigan. And Chuck, since you're a native of the Michigan area, I am going to send this over to you to talk about.
Well, this is an interesting case, and this demonstrates a problem that has become unique in the United States since about, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember what year it passed, but I think it was about 1994 or 1995, and that is the motor voter law. That is where you are asked to register to vote as you get your driver's license, which really doesn't sound like a big deal. The problem being that the discovering whether or not you are a citizen of the United States is a matter of them saying, are you a citizen of the United States?
Chuck, that sounds like incendiary and possibly discriminatory for you to ask somebody if they're a citizen to vote in the United States, isn't it?
Well, let me tell you something. In this case, I am very discriminatory. I only want citizens to vote in the elections that I'm participating in, and that's all of them. Now, obviously, I'm not a Michigan citizen anymore, but I certainly am in Ohio, and I want Ohio to say, when I go in to register to vote, can you prove you're a citizen of the United States of America? And unfortunately, that is becoming less and less and less of an issue in places, especially places in the Southwest and California and other states in the East and the Northeast as well. They don't want to know if you're a citizen of the United States. All they want you to do is sign up and vote. And so this is becoming a big problem. Now, what was run into today in Michigan, this was a primary election. Michigan has a kind of a strange deal. They have a presidential primary and then they have another primary. So they have multiple primaries, and that's because of this goofy thing that has taken over since the 70s in the major parties, having to do with when you can have your presidential primary vote. And we won't go into that because they created such a mess with that that it's just almost beyond description. And it almost blew up in Ohio this year, if you recall, Barry.
Yes, exactly.
We talked about...
But you know what, Charles? We had a situation in Ohio, and it's still ongoing, about whether or not voters should have to show photo ID to cast a ballot. Now, you know, historically in Ohio, when you go to the polls to vote, they'll ask if you're registered, they'll ask your name, and then they'll look at your registration to see if you're on there, and then you're supposed to sign the register, and then they check to see if that signature matches the signature they have on file from your voter registration card. Now, Chuck, I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with showing a photo ID, because in today's day and age, it's not discriminatory, because most people have driver's licenses, and those who don't usually have some state-issued form of identification in order to do things like, oh, cash checks, or do other types of things, or get their government benefits. So I don't believe it's very discriminatory to ask somebody to produce a photo identification so that they can guarantee that somebody's a master forger. They can't really forge somebody else's face.
You just described why the arguments against requesting an ID to be able to vote is a specious argument. That is, I believe you can get a state-issued ID.
Yes, you
for about $5. Isn't it about $5?
I'm sure that it is, and I'm sure that there's probably some kind of a federally underwritten grant, i.e. we're paying for it, that would allow them to get it for free if they can show that they're indigent or at the poverty level.
And I would agree, there probably is a program out there like that. Now, the whole point being that there is a push in this country, and it is sort of flying under the radar, and that is for illegal immigrants to be allowed to vote. We've talked about this on this show before. That's the whole reason behind this whole amnesty for anyone under 30 movement. And in fact, now the Obama administration is floating a trial balloon that they're just going to give blanket amnesty sometime before the election. Folks, as Obama's ship takes on water and goes bow down and begins to sink a little bit, you're going to see more and more and more of these proposals. And he is essentially going to start doing things like this through the fiat method of issuing an executive order. Now, what we saw in Michigan was simply a safeguard against voter fraud, insofar as when you went in and signed up for your ballot, there was a box. And the box said, are you an American citizen? And you either filled in the little circle that said yes, and you were allowed to vote, or you filled in the little circle that said no, and you were rejected as a voter. Because in the United States of America, you can only vote if you are a citizen. Well, there were people who were refusing to fill out that particular little box, and therefore were not being allowed to vote, which is exactly what should have happened. There is now a hue and cry that these people were quote-unquote disenfranchised because they quote-unquote really didn't understand what that question was. Barry, seriously, how difficult is it to answer the question, are you an American citizen?
Exactly. But folks, think about this too. And Chuck, and this is something for us to think about this, because this could be that they could have asked, are you an American citizen? Are you a citizen of the state of Michigan? Are you a citizen who lives in this precinct? Now, they didn't ask all those. They just asked the general question about, are you a citizen of the United States? Well, Chuck, honestly, I'd like them to ask some more piercing questions about this. For those people who refuse to answer that such a generic question, number one, maybe we need to do more IOTC work up in the state of Michigan so that people can learn what citizenship really means. Secondly, I think that if people were confused by the question, then there should have been something there, and I believe supposedly, according to the article from the CBS Detroit website called Voters Turned Away, a Citizenship Box Creates Confusion at the Polls, there should have been some kind of information provided by the Secretary of State's office about just defining it. A citizen means someone who is a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There it is, right there up front. I know it kind of seems, well, idiotic. I have to actually spell it out and define it for somebody. But we have to remember, though, Chuck, we live in an age where it's not common sense anymore, the terms that many of us, our listeners and others, take for granted. People really don't seem to grasp anymore basic civics, like you need to be a registered voter and live in the country or the state or the city in which you're voting in order to cast a vote on issues affecting that locality. You know, we've argued this for years, and you know, we see examples of it, and even in the city of Columbus, we see an example of the idea of ward representation, that when you have everybody on city council who comes from one section of the city, many of the wards in the city don't get represented unless you have ward representation. Well, would you want somebody from outside the ward voting on that ward representation? Because they probably would vote somebody in who's in the pocket of the powers that be. So you don't want that kind of thing. And I think that's what Michigan's Secretary of State was trying to accomplish in a generic way, is just to make sure that their voter rolls, that people were actually citizens. It's a real simple thing, but why it's causing such an uproar right now is really a symptom of the times.
Actually, there is a clue, and it's in this article. I'm going to read two paragraphs from this article that shows you that we really are living in bizarro land. Civil liberties groups have said the question is an attempt to discourage people from voting and that asking people to reaffirm their citizenship is redundant. Redundant. Okay.
And you're saying that government is not redundant? Is that what they're trying to imply, that government shouldn't be redundant?
Now, here's the next paragraph. Secretary of State Ruth Johnson has said, the question serves to clear up any confusion among some of non-U.S. citizens who were under the impression that they could vote because they were asked to register at a Secretary of State. Guess what the Secretary of State does in Michigan? He issues driver's licenses and motor vehicle registration. She, in this case, Ruth Johnson. So what does that tell you?
That's right.
They were asked to register to vote under motor voter. This goes back to my direct point. Of course, civil liberties groups have said the question is an attempt to discourage people from voting. It is an attempt to discourage people from voting. And it's discouraging people from voting who have no business voting. That's the whole point. This is why I say, come on, folks. This really is not rocket science. You're willy-nilly allowing people to register to vote, and then it's not okay to ask them if they're citizens when they show up to do so? Well, and it's a crime if we turn them away because they were registered to vote? See, the argument here in these civil libertarians is that, well, you allowed them to register to vote, therefore they should be allowed. No, there was a criteria to be allowed to register to vote. And the fact is that the Secretary of State's office can't go around checking citizenship records for however many people live in Michigan. I think it's 8.5 million people, and however many are registered to vote there. Good night, Barry.
Isn't there like 9.5 million registered to vote?
Probably. Something like that.
Because like in Ohio, there are probably dead people who are registered to vote.
Oh, and that's, again, you're getting to another point. Here in Florida, just recently, Eric Holder was going to sue Florida because they were purging voter rolls of people who were dead and were convicted felons and other types of non-citizens. And Eric Holder said, stop, or the federal government is going to sue you.
Chuck, you're pointing out a beautiful point here that I think our listeners need to make sure that we bring home. And that is that it's a choice between whether we have standards and qualifications or whether we have none at all. Our civil libertarian groups would like to have it be willy-nilly. Anybody who gets up on a given day and decides they want to go and have a part of the franchise and cast a ballot should be able to do so, even if they can't dig themselves out of their graves to get there. However, we do have to have some basic standards. And I think the first basic standard is, are you a citizen of this country? Is not too much to ask people.
And another thing, are you alive? Or are you voting representatively?
We are a representative republic, but not to that extent.
Not to that extent. That's right. But that's what's going on. We have people that are, look, the records are very clear. The fact that the Justice Departments and Secretaries of State are refusing to prosecute these cases where people are voting multiple times and have been caught and are given a wrist slap. I'll be quite honest, Barry, that should be a prison term. That should be a felony with a prison term and the disenfranchisement from voting thereafter, at least for a period, not necessarily permanently. But the fact is, we're not going to see that because we've gotten into this thing where there is a real undercurrent right now in the, especially from the far left, that everybody should be allowed to vote. And remember, we have talked for years about something being a right and something being a privilege. Voting is not a right. Voting is a privilege.
Absolutely. And I hope that many of our listeners will make sure that they're registered to exercise their privilege in the next election we have in Ohio, which is coming up on November the 6th, the general election of 2012. You have till 30 days prior to get registered to vote. And if you are a Christian and a constitutionalist and you're not voting, I hate to say it, Chuck, but they're part of the problem.
Absolutely.
But that's a show for another day.
That's right, because we're out of time. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.